You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Caracino.
And we are coming to you from Boulevard Park, Washington, home of the Pelton Cast.
Hello! Is it too early to toast at 9:08 a.m.?
For sure it's not. Nate and Alicia and Tyler and Lexi, they've already been drinking for multiple hours
there
at this
go.
Point at the tailgate that we're about to go to, but we can't get to that because first we have to ask, is it a good idea for the Seahawks to trade for an edge rusher on the eve of the season? Clowny question, bro. There was a Bryce Harper reference.
How long were you saving that one for?
like a half hour or so.
Clowny question. It was just, I don't know, the delivery wasn't quite right. You should have had me set that up.
Okay. Well, you didn't know about it beforehand. I didn't. Some people on this podcast, when we talked about the possibility of a Jadeveon Clowney trade last week.
Wait, can we go through the trade first before
the particulars
you criticize me?
Well, I think that this kind of sets up. You thought the Seahawks were giving up way too much for a player who's possibly a rental on the one-year franchise tag, making $16 million. But the Seahawks played this perfectly, I think you have to say. They weren't desperate. They waited until the Houston Texans no longer had the leverage at the Miami Dolphins because Clowney refused to sign his tender and get traded.
I mean, that's
Dolphins.
What really changed this.
Yeah. And then all they give up in return, according to the reporting this morning, I think Albert Breer was the first to have that it was a third-round pick. I don't know. There was
it's
a variety.
9 a.m., folks. We're not that organized. You have any more of those Rainier sessions sitting around?
I do. First to report that it's a third-round pick going from the Seahawks to the Texans, and then two players, which we later learned were defensive players.
Well, so the process of these two players, we hear it's going to be a third-round pick plus two players. I immediately told you there was rumors because Jermaine Effetti had changed his avatar to a picture of him wearing an Astros jersey, right?
That is
so
correct.
That fueled speculation. Also, first broken by Dwayne Brown with the eyes emoji last night. We knew this was going down when we saw that. We've been on a wrecking ball, a roller coaster, since the moment Dwayne Brown tweeted that. But, so when we find out that it's
I could barely sleep last night. Woke up early just to see what happened.
I mean, I knew, I was like, I'm going to wake up and they're going to be far down the road on a Jadeveon Clowney trade. But, so when we heard his two players, I said to you, it has to be Effetti and Rashad Penny, right?
That was your first response, yes.
All that we've heard is that the Texans are looking for help at running back or on the offensive line.
Apparently they needed help at edge rusher because they didn't have Jadeveon Clowney.
It's kind of a strange decision. The whole process is very strange for the Texans.
So it was Albert Breer and Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle who first had that it was a 2020 third round pick going to Houston. And then subsequently, then we start hearing it's defensive players. And then we hear it's a linebackers. And it's like, who could this be? And it turns out to be a couple of edge rushers who would be 3-4 outside linebackers in the Houston system. Barkevious Mingo, who was almost certainly not going to make the
Seahawks
roster.
Yes.
And then Jacob Martin, who was going to make the roster, had flashed as a late-round pick last year. But this is not giving up your starting right tackle or your starting center,
no,
because Justin Britt was also in the conversation.
Good God. If they'd have given up Britt, I mean, I would be furious about this trade. Yeah. If they'd given up an offensive lineman who is going to be starting next Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals in week one, I'd be upset about this trade still, right?
Yeah.
You just don't mess with the camaraderie online.
I mean, this is some camaraderie
with
online.
The camaraderie on the offensive line, right? Yes. You don't do that a week before the season. But this trade, giving up a player that you're almost certainly going to cut, giving up a player who really didn't factor too much into the pass rush. We weren't going into the season saying the Seahawks are set at pass rush because they have Jacob Martin.
And I think it helps out the Seahawks roster crunch a little bit because Brandon Jackson, who played pretty well in the fourth preseason game, you know, could say that he flashed as much as Martin did. It looked like, based on the roster projections, they were probably going to have to cut him at defensive end. So now you keep, or I guess they still maybe have to keep him because they have Jadeveon Clowney is now in the mix. So either way, you know, like there was.
One for one roster spot wise.
It is probably a one for one now that I think about it. But either way, like, this isn't a huge cost. And we talked about, when we talked about this on the pod last week, when you were against the idea trading for Jaden and Clowney. I don't know if I don't think I have time to pull the audio.
Take your little victory lap here.
I said, hey, what if it's a third round pick they give up? Then you'd potentially get a, if he walks after this season, you potentially get a third round pick as a comp pick for him the following year. Now, you'd rather have the 2020 third round pick because it's a year earlier and it'll come before, because comp picks are at the end of the round. But to potentially sacrifice that little to get a year of an elite edge rusher on a team where that was one of the biggest weaknesses, you'd make that trade 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I told you, if that was the package, then I'm fine with it. But if they'd given up almost anything more, and look, let's say that Rashad Penny was included, I would not be too upset about this right now either.
Honestly, it's a salary dump.
But I'm sure, I bet they discussed it and the Texans were like, we're good. But if that's what you're giving up, then I'm great with the deal, right? That's what I said to you. It's all about what you're giving up in this trade. Right, it's all about value. And I think in this trade, they're maximizing their value. But I will say to you, sir, in response, this summer, you in Las Vegas, you and Bill Barnwell were there chatting about foods, chortling along. Oh, the Seahawks had a great offseason. Tristan Carcino has no idea what he's talking about. But instead, I say to you, sir, that them handling this offseason perfectly with regards to comp picks is the reason they were able to make this trade.
Well,
they handled it perfectly with regards to, what did they do? They traded, think about the Frank Clark trade in this perspective.
Frank Clark trade was amazing.
They basically swapped Frank Clark for Jadeveon Clowney, picked up a first round pick, a second round pick next year, right? Do we have a first round pick next year as well?
No.
Third round pick next year?
I think it's the second next year from that trade.
So they picked up a first round and a second round pick and then lost a third round pick that they also would have gotten in comp picks. This is the perfect offseason.
The perfect offseason? Our friend Ben Baldwin of The Athletic pointed out and may point out on our live show next Friday.
What?
At Belltown Yacht Club. Get your tickets now. SonicCentral.com/PeltonCast. PeltonCast at PeltonCast on Twitter. The only reason they have the extra third-round pick next year is because they let Earl Thomas walk, and that's also why they have the money to pay Jadeveon Clowney for this season.
So they didn't re-sign an injury-prone 30-year-old safety? Come on. Like, I understand.
I mean, it would take Earl Thomas over Jadeveon Clowney.
I guess so.
But like, that option is now off the table.
They handled the pass rush situation at the very least perfectly this offseason. Now, in this moment, there's no way that you can criticize it.
And they still have Ezekiel Ansah on a buy low contract where, you know, you put those two guys opposite each other. That could potentially be, you know, an Avril Bennett style combination.
It sort of changes my whole perspective about what the pass rush is going to look like this season. And when you think about the defense overall, the pass rush was one of the weakest links. Still a lot of concerns at safety, et cetera. But
a cornerback, too. It was a great quarterback preseason.
Oh, we saw very little first team cornerbacks.
We saw a lot of whoever's going to play the nickel, unless they got another trade on tap, which we can't rule out.
But we feel really confident at linebacker, and we feel no less confident at linebacker after this trade. And we feel a lot more confident on the defensive line now than we did yesterday.
For sure. Absolutely. Should we talk a little about Clowney? Because I think we know Clowney, like the general idea, number one draft pick.
Chafing at this Earl Thomas thing. Like, the chances of getting more value from Earl Thomas on the field than you would be giving up in the contract are very slim at this point, right? If there were no salary cap, I would be all for re-signing Earl Thomas, as the Seahawks would too. They would have backed the fucking truck up with money for Earl Thomas if there weren't a salary cap. But the reality is you have to choose who you're going to play, and you have to work on maximizing value from every single contract that you have.
Single most important player on their defense.
You trade for players. You trade for contracts. You don't trade for players.
Sure. But Earl Thomas was, when healthy, Earl Thomas is worth more than his contract. He's worth more than, I mean, he's, like, he was what made the Seahawks defense special, and it isn't special
without him. This is not an anti-Earl Thomas take, obviously.
Yes.
But I'm saying you sort of have to bake into your projections for Earl Thomas going forward that he's probably going to miss some time.
I don't know if these fluke broken legs, I don't know if you can be injury prone in terms of breaking legs. I mean, I, you know me, I don't necessarily believe in the concept of injury proneness at all,
okay,
other than recurring injuries to the same body part.
What do you think aging is like for 30-year-old safeties, though?
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. But someone who relies as much on instincts as Earl Thomas does, I think, gives him the chance to age well. But we can debate this with Ben B. at the live show.
All right. Let's
talk about
it.
Clowney. The more research I did on him,
okay,
the more I think he's just like Michael Bennett.
Oh, man.
Good and bad. Because he led NFL defenders with 13 penalties last season and was tied for third the previous year when he had also 13, which was one fewer than Michael Bennett during his last season with the Seahawks. One thing I didn't realize about Clowney, though, like the factor that he is in the run game, 2 years ago led the NFL, according to Football Outsiders charting, with 15 run tackles for a loss, had 14 the previous season to lead the NFL.
Most of those happened in the Seahawks game 2 years ago.
That's true. When they decided
when
to
they ran at
with tight ends. Oh, man, I forgot about that.
Gotta go straight to Clowney.
Oh, no. That might have been what sealed Daryl Bevel's fate if that was his call. Oh, or Tom Campbell's if it was his.
I saw something on film.
Last year dropped to 12 run tackles for loss, which was tied for 7th in the league. But that's a very Bennett-style thing where making a lot of plays in the backfield and something the Seahawks want from players at that position. The other thing I think that's comparable to Bennett is, like, Michael Bennett never had a ton of sacks. His career high is 10 sacks. Same thing with Clowney, as we talked about on the pod on Wednesday. Didn't have nearly as many sacks last season as Frank Clark. And if you look over the last 3 years, not as many as Frank Clark. But where he does consistently excel is in terms of producing pressure. Last year's 34.5 hurries tied for 20th, ahead of the fact that he was tied for 24th with 9 sacks. The previous year, 10th in pressures. This is, again, Football Outsiders charting with 45. And 33, or these are hurries, I should say, not pressures. 33 hurries tied for 17th in 2016 when he had way fewer sacks. So he's consistently around the quarterback, even if he's not necessarily as efficient as turning those hurries into sacks.
Almost as many hurries as somebody like Frank Clark is.
More last season.
Yeah, which can open things up for his teammates. Maybe the issue for Jadeveon Clowney was that J.J. Watt was just getting there first.
That could be. That's potentially.
I think he had a lot of sacks.
I mean, the other interesting metric that's out there, last year, ESPN Stats and Information Group used the tracking data in the NFL, their next-gen stats, to put together a pass rush win rate, which is how often basically you get to a certain spot that they consider beating the offensive lineman in a certain number of seconds, 2.5 seconds. He was number 2 in the entire NFL among edge rushers.
Who was number 1?
Robert Quinn.
Oh, oddly. My God.
Aaron Donald also had a better pass rush win rate. Those are the, as a defensive tackle, those are the two players who were ahead of Jadeveon Clowney last year. And Michael Bennett, by the way, was 9th in this category at 30%. Frank Clark not in the top 10. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think the Seahawks got better in 2019 by effectively trading Frank Clark for Jadeveon Clowney, but the drop-off isn't nearly as significant as it should be given the draft pick that they did accumulate, as you mentioned.
Well, I mean, you think about this when you're talking about sort of Jadeveon Clowney getting run tackles for loss, right? The iconic Jadeveon Clowney play from him at South Carolina is stopping a running back, right? It wasn't a sack.
Yeah, I guess that's true. He was just in the backfield, like him, at the handoff.
Him being in the backfield.
He was a Michigan player, right?
I think it was a smaller college than that. But
I thought it was the bowl game.
Those are plays that you remember seeing Jadeveon Clowney less than you remember seeing sacks, but still having huge impact on the game. And for all intents and purposes, hurries might be a more important stat.
Yeah, it was Michigan.
It was against Michigan. Let's watch that right now.
Oh, sure. The listener.
Yeah, yeah.
The listener won't be able to watch that with us, but you know, we'll take a watch of that and describe to you what's happening here. Yeah, it's...
Oh my God, so fast.
He is 6 yards in the backfield at the time of the handoff.
Did you see how quickly he accelerated back there? And then he recovered the fumble too. I wonder that... That's probably Thomas Rawls in the backfield. Let's see this in slow-mo. Good God.
takes off the running back's helmet. It is not, sadly, Thomas Rawls.
And then just reaching out with his left hand and scooping up the ball. Oh, man.
So, I mean, this is Bennett-esque, where you're trying to get
off
the ball.
I've never seen Michael Bennett do anything like that.
Well, no. But you... True. He also wasn't this player in college, which is why he went undrafted and was not the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yes.
But Bennett-esque in terms of you're trying to time the snap perfectly so that you're in the backfield as quickly as possible. Now, that's going to create some offsides, and people are going to get upset about that and whine about it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But the net result, as we've learned with Michael Bennett over the years, and especially learned without Michael Bennett last year, is for the positive.
Yes. All right. Well, this is great. I mean, it's good to be the team for once that's picking up a star player at a valuable price,
yes.
Instead of giving up way, way, way too much. And look, maybe they'll re-sign Jadeveon Clowney this offseason. We don't know. It's nice to be in the mix and have the option. And then if not, you're not going to look at it and say, you know, like the Sheldon Richardson trade. You looked at that and you're like, wow, this really derailed a couple of years of Seahawks drafts.
Especially because they gave up Jermaine Kearse.
And they gave up Jermaine Kearse. Like, they gave up a valuable player on the field. Or at least one who we liked.
He was valuable on the field in 2017. We're not going to talk about 2018.
Valuable in our hearts. But that moment was like, wow, the Seahawks went all in because they were missing this last piece. So they really went for it when they traded for Jimmy Graham, when they traded for Percy Harvin. All of these trades were, they're signing, not Sheldon, they didn't pay him after that, but they were trading high draft picks plus assets in the case of Max Unger for Jimmy Graham for a like star flashy player. And then it never worked out. This time, they're trading a third-round pick and two players who are borderline making the team. This is the type of trade that you make before the season starts. Pete and John are getting smarter.
Yeah, I mean, we thought they had learned their lesson by just not making these trades and making the opposite version of this trade with Frank Clark. It turns out that the lesson, they actually learned the correct lesson, which is you make these when the price is right.
Have some fucking patience, Pete and John. You waited out Ziggy Ansah until after the comp pick deadline. You waited out Jadeveon Clowney. You knew he wanted to come here. This could have easily been the Eagles making this trade for these same picks, but it was the Seahawks making the trade, and they handled it exactly right.
I think the one concern that's out there is Clowney has played his entire career as a 3-4 outside linebacker. In the Texans scheme, I could be mistaken about that, but I'm pretty sure he has. It will be, I think, a bit of an adjustment for him with a hand in the dirt as a 4-3 edge rusher. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that works, especially with like 6 days of practice.
He's got a full week to figure it out.
We're also having to assume that he's kept himself in shape, working apart from the team while he hasn't signed that tender, but I feel pretty confident about that.
Even Dwayne Brown, like they paid more for Dwayne Brown than they did for Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, and we'll see if Jacob Martin fails his physical and they end up trading a second round pick instead. Then I reserve the right to change my opinions about this trade a little bit. But the other thing about this is...
Hope you're feeling good, Jacob.
And we thought this at the time about the Sheldon Richardson trade, although we had some reservations. Like the Seahawks do have a way of making the final week before the regular season pretty exciting.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, on Sunday, we will probably be watching Jadeveon Clowney play for the Seahawks, which is a fun thing.
Yeah.
So.
And it didn't cost that much.
So should the Seahawks trade for a star pass rusher on the eve of the NFL season?
Clowney question, bro.
There you go.
On that note.
Thanks for listening, and go Dogs.
Go Dogs.